All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 524 for Thursday, June the 15th, 12:15. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and I'm waiting for someone to hook ChatGPT up into Neuralink so that you can just generate entire scripted dreams and memories and implant them straight into your brain. That'd be fantastic and amazing, right up until people realize they can use it to implant memories of very bad things. You know, ChatGPT, give us the memory of 500 years in a slave prison. Now implant it in that guy's head. Yep, really looking forward to the actual neural interface, aren't we?
Don't give him ideas.
Because, I mean, if you can implant the memories of spending way more time in a prison than you would actually live, it's like, oh, you've got 5 consecutive life sentences? Well, we wouldn't want you to not be a productive member of society. We'll just give you the memories of 5 consecutive life sentences and the worst Soviet gulag that the AI scripts can come up with. Yeah, you'll come out of that nice and sane, won't you?
Once again, don't give them ideas.
Tonight we have an Are You? What's up, Are You?
Not much. Not much at all.
So, we'll see if a madman happens to show up and hop down at some point during the evening. But madman is currently missing in action. I know for certain that he's not hog-tied up in the back of the trunk and furiously trying to work his way out to find the tag that says pull tag run away. I know that he can't find that tag because that tag is not in the back of my car anymore. And I know all these things to be true for various reasons. way too specific of an answer, I believe. Anyways, might be a short show tonight. We'll see. Got started a little bit late, but, shit happens when you get a proper fancy drink.
What'd you pour yourself?
Straight bourbon on the rocks.
Yeah, fancy.
Yeah. Well, the rocks in this case are the fancy bit. I got one of those, clear ice cube maker things. And I found the tap water around here is too hard to properly do that.
It makes it go white.
Yeah, but if you use distilled water to make it, you get really fancy ice cubes.
Nice.
So it does mean that I'm putting way too much effort into making clear ice for drinking bourbon, but you know what? I don't care anymore.
Clear ice for one, anyway.
Yeah, it's not perfectly clear, but it's doesn't... I've noticed doing it this way. Usually a big ice cube chunk in the bourbon waters it down. Once it eventually melts, one, these don't melt as fast, and two, whereas they do water it down, they don't affect the flavor as much. I don't know why. Maybe my tap water's just crap.
There you go. Maybe.
So. But anyways. I guess we'll start off with a discussion here. It's more Reddit shit. So, a couple of things on the Reddit stuff just to get going here. Independent.co.uk has an article on it. Reddit blackout.
User joined your channel.
We have a late joining Madman.
Madman.
Hello.
What is up, Madman?
Nothing much. I would have been here sooner, but more important things had called.
Understood.
Breakfast burrito wasn't sitting too well, eh?
Oh, yeah, it was the Thai food a couple days ago. Spicy coming in, spicy all the other times.
If it's more than in and out, you might want to go to the doctor. Anyways,
did I miss the discussion topic?
No, we're just about to start the discussion topic. We actually started late. You did miss my lovely opening idea of hooking ChatGPT into Neuralink so that you can give people memories that were generated by AI, you know, that were much longer than a human could actually live, which would be fantastic and wonderful. Here's a, you know, lifetime in paradise, right, that you now remember having, until somebody figures out they can use it to, you know, replace prison. It's like, oh, you were assigned 5 consecutive life sentences for slightly modifying a product you own? Well, here's 5 consecutive life sentences generated by AI in a Soviet gulag. Good luck remaining sane.
Oh, don't worry. We'll give you a fake prison cell partner that'll help out with that until you murder him.
Mm-hmm.
3 days before we start feeding you again. I watched that episode of Star Trek.
Yeah. I didn't start at the episode of Star Trek. I started with the idea of, huh, you could have the AI generate memories for you of, like, seeing a movie that never existed. And I was originally going completely different direction with it. Of, oh, look, you're fracturing everyone's common culture into just whatever the AI fed them that day. And then I was like, oh, yeah, you could also use that for torturing people by making them remember horrific things or giving them memories of doing horrific things that, you know, they never did. And then I remembered the Star Trek episode. So it's like, but anyways, so what I figured we for the discussion topic, we got more Reddit stuff to talk about. So here's the article. I picked this one because they've got a good summary of some of the developments this week in it. So dozens of popular Reddit communities have pledged to continue a blackout indefinitely after no resolution was reached after a pricing dispute. The protest was initially meant to last 48 hours, with moderators of the subreddit communities hoping the action would force Reddit's chief executive to reconsider charges for third-party app developers. These charges have already forced the Apollo app to announce that it's shutting down, as they mean it will no longer be able to afford access to Reddit's API. Apollo is one of several platforms that Reddit members use to access the site, with several subreddits posting a message on Wednesday stating, quote, Reddit is killing third-party applications and itself, unquote. The continuation of the protest will impact millions of Reddit users, with more than 300 subreddits committing to staying dark. They include music, which has 32 million subscribers, videos, which has around 26 million. Unpaid volunteers who moderate the communities claim that Reddit admins have been removing moderators who support the protest in order to force the subreddits open. One moderator of R Gaming also claimed the defiant stance was a response to Reddit chief executive Steve Huffman claiming that the protest will pass. In an internal memo to staff this week, Mr. Huffman repeatedly referred to the blackout as noise, despite more than 8,000 communities initially taking part on Monday. Quote, please know that our teams are on it, and like all blowups on Reddit, this one will pass, unquote, he wrote according to The Verge. Quote, we absolutely must ship what we said we would. The only long-term solution is improving our product. In the short term, we have a few upcoming critical mod tool launches we need to nail, unquote. Mr. Huffman also warned staff not to wear the Reddit logo in public in case it made them the object of users' frustrations. The CEO claimed that the site-wide protest had not resulted in, quote, any significant revenue impact, unquote, although it is unlikely to remain the case if the widespread breakouts continue. Now, there's another thing this article left out, which was just hilarious. When all the subreddits started going private, Reddit actually crashed a couple of times, because it turns out that when a subreddit is set to private, apparently that causes additional calls to the back end to display that to display the block page that, you know, hey, we've blocked this subreddit, as opposed to the content that it normally brings up, because I guess the content was mostly cached and these block pages weren't. So it was actually knocking over their servers because there were parts of their system that were getting hit way more heavily that I guess don't normally get hit like that.
They DOSed themselves.
Kind of, yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
At least that's the theory. I don't think anybody from Reddit ever actually confirmed it. But I understand why all these moderators of the subreddit are saying, okay, we're going to keep them private till you guys back down, simply because the CEO called their protest noise. Not concerns of users, not, you know, the moderators who are not paid. The moderators of these subreddits, who basically make sure that the subreddits aren't full of penis pill ads or any other spam, but that seems to be the common one for some reason. I guess dubious, porn sites too. That would be the other common one.
As Larry Fink says, it's not about what the consumer wants. It's about changing their attitude by force.
Yeah, well, that's certainly what they're trying to do. Go ahead.
He does have a point. Unless there's an alternative, it is noise. So unless these guys are going to start spinning up bulletin boards again or something to use other than the Reddit forum that they're already using, it is noise. The reason any boycott usually works is there's an alternative and people switch to the alternative. Whenever there isn't an alternative people want to switch to or can switch to, boycott's not going to last long enough to end the company.
Well, and a lot of the subreddits have opened back up as of yesterday. Some of the subreddits I normally use to get decking links are back open again, although their content was not nearly as good. Mainly because most of the articles were about Reddit. It's like, okay, I want to mention it once and move on to other things, but it's like that's pretty much all that was in several of them. Psychro sent me a message on there about an interesting thing, though, because this is continuing on the discussion. I've got a link here to a Y Combinator post. Now, this has since changed, but there is a Reddit alternative that's federated called KBIN. And I was playing with it earlier today, and other than the fact that the random thread it suggested to me in the right-hand bar was basically a hardcore porn post. It's like, the fuck? It's like, this is supposed to be a Reddit replacement, and that's porn right there on the homepage. You guys might want to work on that. Because I know people look up shit on Reddit at work. Because guides and things get posted there, and it usually comes up in Google results when you're troubleshooting. And a lot of these subreddits saying dark indefinitely is interesting because search engine results are indexing some of these threads, and now you get the big, this subreddit is private for a lot of links. Now, since a lot of the subreddits have opened back up, that's not so much the case. But there is several moderators saying they got kicked out, and then the subreddits opened back up with supposedly other moderators taking over the threads. And there was a Reddit rep who did say, oh no, that's because those moderators were considered inactive. So they're playing games. But this KBIN thing is interesting because there was a subreddit spun up called KBIN Migration, saying, here we're going to migrate off Reddit onto KBIN. Well, they set up the instructions on how to do it on Reddit. So predictably, Reddit banned the subreddits, supposedly for spam, for about a day until they realized that people were noticing and it was going around other posts, and then it got unbanned. So that's what the Y Combinator post is it's acknowledging in this huge discussion. If you actually Google around, you can find people who got screenshots of it being banned for about a day and a half. But it got enough noise that they unbanned the subreddit because that does look pretty bad. Apparently, there's a few other subreddits dedicated to finding alternative sites that also were shut down around the same time and then have since come back. But the Psychro specifically sent me this KBIN one, which is not bad when I was playing with it. Like I said, other than the hardcore porn random thread on the side, which was like, that's not terribly helpful. Because they, instead of subreddits, they call them magazines. But once I figured that out and was digging through some of those, I got some links out of there. So it's an option. It's not as good yet, but I definitely think we're going to try to migrate away from Reddit. I'm not going to be pushing the subreddit anymore. And I need to go look and see if I can actually close that one down. because Big set that thing up, and he hasn't been around in a long time. So I may shut that. I completely forgot about shutting it down, but I don't know that I have access to do it, since I don't know that if I'm a full mod in there or not. Not that it really matters, but I think we're going to try to move away from it, just because it's like, well, you know, I don't. I originally started using a subreddit because I didn't want to set up a forum, and it's like, let somebody else deal with the security issues. But so I would like to find
the moderating.
I definitely would like to try to find an alternative. I mean, I could spin up a forum again, but I don't know how useful that would really be. So, anyways, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm just over there now having a bit of a look around.
Oh, at the K-Bin?
Yeah, it's like K-Bin. Just as social, useless as Reddit. It's just as useless as Reddit.
Yeah.
Yeah, good, then it's an alternative.
So,
Reddit just MySpaced itself.
Well, that, like you said, is are people actually going to migrate to alternatives or not? Because there doesn't appear to be a clear, obvious one to go to.
Yeah, and that's one. Problem many CEOs don't see is they don't see the alternative. MySpace could have bought out Facebook for dirt cheap. Facebook even asked them to. But MySpace didn't see it as a competitor until it ate their lunch.
What didn't Blockbuster turn down a bid to buy Netflix at one point?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that happens a lot.
You know, the even more famous one? Pepsi tried to get bought out by Coke.
Whoops.
So, and they're right. The CEO is right up until he's wrong, is where this is going.
Yeah.
So, if there isn't an alternative, he said it in an asshole way, and he should have kept his asshole thought to himself, because image isn't everything, but it is a big thing. But he did have the right idea.
All right, well, we can, I guess we'll move on. Because, like I said, so if anybody does know of good alternatives, especially for something we can use for Galaxy 15. I mean, granted, I could always spin up a forum on the website. Like I said, I just didn't want to deal with spam.
I don't want to moderate anything.
Yeah.
Work. Fuck that.
I mean, there's always options, right? But kind of like the IRC, but I'd need to set up a bot to monitor it all the time. That way people could send me stuff there. which, granted, wouldn't be that hard of a thing to make happen. I guess we'll go on to this next article. This is from Ars Technica. Dozens of popular Minecraft mods found to have been infected with the Fracturizer malware. Whoops. A platform that provides plugin software for the wildly popular Minecraft game is advising users to immediately stop downloading or updating mods after discovering malware has been injected into dozens of offerings it makes available online. The mod developer accounts were hosted by CurseForge, a platform that hosts accounts and forums related to add-on software known as mods or plugins, which extend the capabilities of the standalone Minecraft game. Some of the malicious files used in the attack date back to mid-April, a sign that the account compromises have been active for weeks. Bucket.org, a developer platform run by CurseForge, is also believed to be affected. Now, CurseForge does mods for things more than just Minecraft. Minecraft is probably just the biggest game that they do. But I think they got started with Warcraft UI mods, didn't they? World of
yes,
Warcraft?
Yes, I think they did the pre-made AV enabler we used for a while.
Yeah.
Not that I would ever cheat in World of Warcraft ever. Don't ban my account, faggots.
So, this could be a real problem for a long time if you have all these game mods getting infected. Quote, "A number of CurseForge and dev.bucket.org, but not the Bucket software itself, accounts were compromised, and malicious software was injected into copies of many popular plugins and mods," gamers wrote in a forum dedicated to discussing the event. Quote, "Some of these malicious copies have been injected into popular mod packs, including Better Minecraft. There are reports of malicious plugin mod jars as early as mid-April. Officials with Prism Launcher, maker of open source Minecraft Launcher, described the infections as widespread and listed all of the following mods as being affected: Dungeons Arise, Sky Villages, Better MC Mod Pack Series, Dungeon Z, Skyblock Core, Vault Integrations, Auto Broadcast, Museum Curator Advanced Vault Integrations, Bug Fix, Create Infernal Expansions Plus mod, and that mod was removed from CurseForge. Bucket mods that are affected are Display Entity Editor, Haven Elytra, the Nexus Event Custom Entity Editor, Simple Harvesting, MC Bounties, Easy Custom Foods, Anti-Command Spam, Bungee Cord Support, Ultimate Leveling, Anti-Redstone Crash, Hydration, Fragment Permissions Plugin, No VPNs, Ultimate Tiles Animation Gradient RGB, and Floating Damage. So, now the thing is that with Minecraft, it's not just the individual mods you got to be worried about. There are mod packs, various. You know, like what was the one we used to play?
Feed the Beast,
Feed the Beast. Yeah,
Monsten,
that was the one with the big
all
all the
heaps
crap
of
in it.
different ones.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, and several of these are going to include, you know, several of those packs are going to include some of these things. So, you know, especially when the ones that are like auto broadcast, the bug fix ones. The anti-redstone crash one. Yeah, I see a lot of mod packs are probably affected by this. Participants posting in the forum said the malware used in the attack, dubbed Fracturizer, runs on Windows and Linux. It's delivered in stages that are initiated by stage zero, which begins when somebody runs one of the infected mods. Each stage downloads a file from a command and control server and then calls for the next stage. Stage 3, believed to be the final stage in the sequence, creates folders and scripts, makes changes to the system's registry, and performs one of the following: propagates itself to all jar files on the file system, possibly allowing Fracturizer to infect other mods that weren't downloaded from CurseForge or Bucket Dev; steal cookies and login information from multiple web browsers; replace cryptocurrency addresses in the clipboard with alternate ones. That's a dick move. Steal Discord
Yeah.
credentials and steal Microsoft and Minecraft credentials. As of 10:45 California time, only four of the major antivirus engines detect Fracturizer, according to samples of malware posted to VirusTotal. Forum participants said that people who want to manually check for the signs for their systems for signs of infection should look for the following, and they list out a bunch of files you can look at. Yeah, apparently the malware is hard-coded for Linux and Windows. It is possible it received additional packaging and payloads for other OSs in the future. People investigating the incident have made scripts available to help users check. CurseForge has a disinfection guide. On social media, CurseForge officials said a malicious user has created several accounts and uploaded projects containing malware to the platform. Officials went on to say that a user belonging to mod developer Luna Pixel Studios was also hacked, and the account was used to upload similar malware. So, they've got some more information here on just official posts, but it's all going to be, you know, the same thing. So, yeah. Be very careful with your Minecraft mods lately.
Oh, if they compromised the server, those were on other games as well. We're 10 million, still like 10 million Warcraft users. I think that would
Well,
still be a target.
I think they're targeting Minecraft specifically because Minecraft is running Java, so they can infect those jar files directly. Things like the World of Warcraft UI plugins were written in Lua, so that's a little bit more sandboxed than something like Java. Now, newer Java builds are certainly better than the old ones, and the Microsoft Minecraft, I think they rewrote it in .NET, didn't they?
No idea.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it in so long.
Haven't touched that heroin in ages. Not going to either. Pick that one.
You try to get out and they keep sucking you back in.
Dude, I don't even have a copy of it anymore.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just, the thing is, a lot of the people who play Minecraft nowadays are kids who probably don't really understand, you know, what's going on and how easy that is to get. So we're going to be hearing about Fallout from this for a long time.
Yep.
What's this?
I don't know if that's a story or not. It just seems to be breaking right now.
You want to go for it? I can put it in the list. We can do it.
Dude, I don't know if it's a real story. I've seen a couple of people talking about it. I saw the this is the World Economic Forum predicted 2 months ago. So I don't know whether it's a scare. I don't know. I don't know if it's a real story, man.
Well, let's just run down here and see. So it's from techmonitor.ai. Hacking gangs Killnet, Anonymous Sudan, and R-Evil. I wonder which R-Evil that is. There's a few of them now. Are threatening to launch a destructive attack against the whole of the European financial system, starting with the SWIFT international communication system at some point in the next 48 hours. In a video released yesterday, the trio said they are hitting back at Europe for its role in helping Ukraine in the war with Russia. Security researchers have told Tech Monitor that while this prospect may appear far-fetched, financial institutions, they should be on high alert for some kind of attack, as Killnet is known for its powerful denial of service attacks. So some hacking groups threw out a produced video,
a threat,
a threat.
So I don't even know if it's
on
real.
Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know if it's real. I've seen a few people talking about it now. All I know is that World Economic Forum, they said about 2-3 months ago they expect something like this to happen. That's why we need to, you know, go forward with digital currencies and digital ID and stuff.
Well, that's hardly the first time the SWIFT system has been targeted. North Korea routinely fucks with it.
I know, right? So I don't know whether it's a real story or not. Yeah, we'll let you know next week.
Well, yeah.
We'll know by then.
If all of Europe has collapsed.
We'll know by then whether it was something to worry about or something that... I wouldn't put it past the European Union to do it to themselves.
Well, the thing
is, oh, look what Russia did.
Well, the thing is, you've got
good news. The dollar just got stronger.
I mean, all of those hacking gangs, right? So, Killnet got real big a few years ago. So did R-Evil, Anonymous Sudan. I'm assuming that's a fork of Anonymous. But the thing is, a lot of these groups, especially Anonymous, especially because of how distributed it was. I mean, anybody could just say they were a member of Anonymous and do something in the name of the collective, right? So it got to the point where certain, we'll say, state sponsors were doing shit and then would just, you know, say, oh, it was Anonymous. And, you know, because, oh, yeah, you know, the hacker 4chan and his exploding vans can do anything. And, you know, I mean, there are guys out there who really know what they're on about, and these groups... You know, some of these groups are state-funded and a problem, but I don't know that these Twitter accounts are really from these groups, you know?
Well, that's what I said. Like, I'm not sure whether it's a real story just yet. Because anybody can put out a statement.
Right.
Put out a statement claiming to be Anonymous fucking Iran, you know, and start bitching about Israel.
Well, I mean, both Russia and China fund hacking groups, and they run them like companies. So,
can I let you in a little secret there?
Yeah, go for it.
America, the UK, Australia, Britain, we all run hacker groups.
I know that. My point being that they're specifically calling out Russian ones, or ones that are believed to be Russian or Russian adjacent. So, you know, are these hacking groups a thing? Yes. Are these statements from that hacking group? I don't know. are these hacking groups really going to go after Swift like that if you're making a big noise about it? Usually these groups don't make noise and then do something unless they're already in it.
That's what I was thinking. Why announce? Why get them to put men on the walls, if you know what I mean? Don't announce you're going to attack. You just attack. That's what I mean. I just find it hard to believe.
Hacktivism, if I can get the word out, is hard because it's very easy these days to have bad actors put things out in your group's name. It's very easy to make a lot of noise and no actual substance. But at the same time, there's very few ways to really cause true hardcore damage with things as they are today. You can fuck with the financial systems, absolutely. And going after Swift, if you're wanting to cause havoc, it's a good way to do it. But other than financial and some information systems, there's not really a good way to, you know, kill people over the internet. There's not really a good way to do widespread property damage over the internet. You know, if you happen to find somebody who's got their SCADA system hooked up to the internet, you might be able to do some harm. Or if you've got the kind of research to be able to write malware for, you know, the kind of line controllers that some of these big industrial plants use, you might be able to get that malware into that system. You know, and we've seen those kind of attacks in the past, you know, Stuxnet being the obvious example, where, you know, widespread malware just to try to mess with, you know, some SCADA in a specific, you know, area. It's hard. So, you know, the idea of making an announcement and trying to go the whole, you know, do what we want or we'll hurt you route, I mean, I understand why the impulse is there, but in the end of the day, it's not that effective.
Huh.
So, you know, if you're gonna announce it, you better already be in it, and you better be damn sure that the people running it can't get you out before you do your damage. So, you know, they say, oh, in the next 48 hours? You don't make the announcement till you're in the middle of doing it. Now, you might say you're going to do it in the next 48 hours while you're doing it, because the moment you announce, you're effectively informing the people who are going to try to get you out of those systems that you are there. And if they didn't know that you were there, you've just, you know, threw up a flag, right?
It just makes me think that the European Union's going to hurt themselves, blame Russia, and, you know, gives them a mandate to go to the people and go, look what the bad Russians did to us. You want revenge, do you? Because you couldn't get your money out over the weekend. Look what they did. They nearly destroyed Europe. We need to stop them now.
Well, it certainly
I would not put it past them.
It certainly wouldn't be the first time a government used a false flag.
Oh shit, right? And just announcing it early, you know, puts it forefront of people's minds, so when something does go wrong, they're up, oh, fucking hackers, Russian hackers, look what they've done. It just seems a little weird to announce. Okay.
Yep. So, anyways, I guess we'll go to this next article here. This one's going to be rough to read because it's a guy's blog post and it's from first person. So I'm going to try to remember to replace it with, you know, the author and things like that, like I usually do when I read these. But, you know, just be aware because it's a bit of a read. So on Wednesday, May 31st, the author finally regained access to his Amazon account after an unexpected, unwarranted lockout that lasted nearly a week. From Thursday, May 25th. This wasn't just simple inconvenience, though. The author has a smart home, and his primary means of interfacing with all the devices and automations is through Amazon Echo devices via Alexa. The incident left him with a house full of unresponsive devices, a silent Alexa, and a lot of questions. He's actually put a couple of video updates in since I first read this. One, he's made his own video detailing it. He also apparently sent some information to Lewis Rossman, who made a video about it. I wasn't aware of those videos when I, you know, bookmarked this for the show earlier in the week, so I haven't watched them. So if there's updates in there, I don't know. Sorry. Unpacking the Cause, the sequence of events that led to this digital exile began innocuously enough. A package was delivered to the author's house on Wednesday, May 24th, and everything seemed fine. The following day, he found that his Echo had signed out. He was unable to interact with his smart home devices. His initial assumption was that somebody might have attempted to access his account repeatedly, triggering a lockout. He apparently uses a fairly old email address for his Amazon, and it's plausible that an old password might have been exposed in a past data breach. However, he currently uses strong auto-generated passwords via Apple and employs two-factor authentication with an authenticator app, so unauthorized access seemed unlikely. He swiftly checked his other Amazon or his other accounts, social media, streaming apps, etc., to ensure he hadn't been compromised, and everything seemed normal, with no flood of notifications from Microsoft Authenticator that would indicate an attempted breach. Puzzled, he followed the advice of the Amazon app and dialed the customer service number it provided. And that's when things began to take a surreal turn. The representative told him he should have received an email, which he did find in the inbox. It was from an executive at Amazon. As he dialed the number provided in the email, he wondered if Amazon was experiencing some issue and he was unwittingly falling into a scam. When he connected with the executive, they asked if they knew why his account had been locked. When he said he didn't, their tone turned somewhat accusatory. He was told that a driver who had delivered his package reported receiving racist remarks from his Ring doorbell. It's actually a Eufy, but he says he'll let that slide. Here's where things got even more baffling. First, the author has multiple cameras recording everything that happens on the property. If the driver's claims were accurate, he could easily verify them with video footage. Second, most delivery drivers in the area share the same race as me, or as the author and his family. It seemed highly unlikely that they would make such remarks. Finally, when the author asked what time the alleged incident occurred, the author realized it was practically impossible for anybody in the house to have made the comments, as nobody was home around the time, which was 6:05 p.m. He reviewed the footage.
Mental note, that person is not home around 6:05 p.m.
Yeah, really. He reviewed the footage and confirmed that no such comments had been made. Instead, the Eufy doorbell had issued an automated response, "Excuse me, can I help you?" The driver, who was walking away and wearing headphones, must have misinterpreted the message. Nevertheless, by the following day, the author's Amazon account was locked and all of his Echo devices were logged out. Let the author be clear, I fully support Amazon taking measures to ensure the safety of their drivers. However, the author questions why his entire smartphone home had been rendered unusable during their internal investigation. It seems more sensible to impose a temporary delivery restriction or purchasing ban on his account. Submitting video evidence from multiple angles right after the initial call with the executive appeared to have little impact on their decision to disable the account. This incident led the author to question his relationship with Amazon. After nearly a decade of loyalty, he's been given a harsh reminder that misunderstanding can lead to a drastic measure. It seems more reasonable to handle such issues in a more compartmentalized way rather than a blanket shutdown of all services. Due to the experience, the author is seriously considering discontinuing the use of Amazon Echo and will caution others about the incident. This ordeal has made a case for a more personalized home assistant, perhaps using a Raspberry Pi. So they eventually, despite promptly submitting video edits, blah, 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 they eventually decided that the incident wasn't real and they unlocked his Amazon account and he got his stuff back. He's got some updates here that weren't here the first time I read the article. Quote, update, for those saying the author is okay with this happening to a real racist, he's not. If someone bought and paid for a device, they should be able to use it at least on their own property if it doesn't hurt anyone. The author is only pushing this story so that it won't happen to anyone else, regardless of their race, religion, okay, blah, blah, blah. Update, he was not truly in the dark for a week. His home runs mostly locally. Okay, so yeah. So, here's the thing. Whether Amazon misbehaved or not, whether they, you know, blew something out of proportion, or maybe somebody hacked the dude's doorbell and was saying shit through it. I mean, that's a thing. You know, yeah. if you know, now that this article's out there, if you know that if you get into somebody's doorbell and you know, say horrible things through it, that you're going to get their Amazon account blocked and they won't be able to order things anymore. I mean, talk about a way of screwing with people, right? So,
or just don't have any fucking technology at your front door.
Well, there's that.
I was just going with, don't automate your home if you don't control the system that's automating your home.
Well, and be aware of just how much stuff in general, whether it's your home, your phone, your car, you know, just, you know, and actually this is something that's come up before with people who have like YouTube channels and they run everything through a Gmail account and, you know, they get review bombed or something, or, you know, happen to make an off-color joke on their YouTube channel and their Google account gets locked out, and they don't just lose the YouTube channel, they lose everything tied to that Google account. Something like that actually happened to the guy who wrote Terraria. I think we talked about that a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't just, you know, posting the game in the store, it was everything. And so you really need to be aware of just how much you're tying to a single account. And even if you do nothing wrong, if somebody makes a mistake and locks out that account, or, you know, the old classic, somebody guesses the password enough times, or tries to guess the password enough wrong times to just lock out the account. I mean, you know, you really need to know what all you've got hooked into one account. And just be aware of what could happen because of that. So, it's not paranoid to keep multiple email accounts and multiple dividers and you know, have one, you know, have an email account that's just for doing your bills. And that way, if you make an off-color joke on Twitter and you get your Gmail account locked out, you can still pay your bills. You know? For a while there, I had like six different email addresses through Galaxy 15 I was using for various things. I kind of backed off on that one a little bit, but, yeah, I mean, it's not that bad of an idea to separate things out and have multiple different accounts for things. I mean, if nothing else, just so that you don't have everything tied in, you know, or even the simplest thing of like, well, okay, if you got everything tied in through one account, and somebody does get into it, keylogger, guess a password, data breach, whatever, right? Think about the havoc that'll cause if, you know, your one account that everything is tied to is compromised. Even if it's not the company being a dick. Were you going to say something, Madman? I thought I heard you.
Oh, no. I pretty much said if you're going to automate your home, control the system that's automating your home.
And self-hosting that kind of stuff is not that hard these days. Raspberry Pis are still hard to get, but, you know, a little mini PC, there's several of them. You got to be careful with those, though, especially if they're out of China. Sometimes they're coming preloaded with malware, so if you do order, like, a mini PC, especially off, like, Alibaba, AliExpress, format it, like, put a good known Linux on it or something. If you get a PC from, you know, any various supplier website and the Windows install says, you know, oh, it's on this corporate, you know, this enterprise distribution license or something like that, and they've got a script you have to do to activate Windows, that's a pirated copy of Windows. Don't use it. It's probably full of malware. I think they just found out a bunch of Android TV boxes were coming preloaded with a bunch of malware on them too. The little cheapies out of off Amazon and AliExpress and stuff like that, you know.
The off-brand Rokus?
Yeah. Yeah, they figured out those were apparently coming with a bunch of malware on them, too, not too long ago. So, yeah, you've really got to watch that shit, man. And, you know, or maybe keep laptops that are only used for certain things. We've advocated for that kind of separation duties before, but, It's a thing. So, you know, for people with the iPhones and the iPads and the Macs, you think about your Apple account, right? The next time some of these companies decide to be, I don't know, socially conscious, and they look through your social media history and they see that you've posted a bad joke 10 years ago, you know, they just lock you out of everything, even though it's your hardware. So, I'm not saying they're going to do it today. I'm just saying it's a possibility and you need to be aware of it. And once
and
again,
it doesn't hurt to have two free email addresses.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, once again, I've picked a topic that nobody disagrees with, so we have nothing to discuss.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, here's something different. Last article I have for tonight, this is from Retro Dodo. McDonald's has just released a brand new Game Boy Color game that plays on actual hardware in 2023. 25 years after the release of the Game Boy Color, McDonald's is still attempting to deliver a worthwhile Mickey D's video game. So this is quite a surprise to any Game Boy enthusiast, but with McDonald's having just released an official Tetris handheld in China, it seems they really are showing the retro scene some love. Retro Dodo does know that the creation of the game coincides with Grimace's fictional birthday of June 12th, and McDonald's has released a limited edition meal as part of the celebration. Grimace, is that... That's the big purple thing, right?
That's the purple one,
purple
yeah.
Thing.
Oh, I just remembered something from a long time ago. I got a story to tell you guys after the show about Grimace. So, anyways, but with McDonald's having just...
Does it involve his nearly twin brother?
No. It involves in middle school, a jackhole in a Grimace costume knocking shit over.
Ah.
Okay, but, yeah. Perhaps somebody internally was not happy with the infamous McDonaldland game for the monochrome Game Boy, and they hoped to offer something redeeming before their retirement. For whatever the reason, McDonald's decided to commission an official Game Boy Color game. So, they've got some screenshots of it here, and it's running on real hardware. And it's like, yeah, the new Game Boy Color title, Grimace's Birthday, was produced by Cruel Toys, and it was developed using GB Studio, a really wonderful game program that makes Game Boy development much easier in 2023. The author was surprised to see the game was developed by somebody in the small niche community, Grumpy Function. Tom Lockwood is the developer behind one of the absolute best homeboy games unearthed. Very cool. Okay, so yeah. There's not, other than, you know, they go through here, basically, where was it? They said it's a solid title. It's decent. You can play the game for free in a web browser. It's unclear if they hope to keep the game locked on their website, but the ROM's been ripped. You can download the ROM if you want. And yeah, if you've got a ROM cartridge, you can load it up and it will play on real hardware because it is a real Game Boy ROM. They did not make new cartridges, which is also not surprising given how Nintendo does business. Because all the companies that made Nintendo games back in the day, they didn't make the cartridges. Nintendo made every cartridge, at least all the official cartridges. And so the game companies making games would send them to Nintendo to be burned onto chips and built into cartridges. You know, that was the whole Nintendo seal of approval, was that Nintendo didn't publish the cartridge of a game they didn't agree with.
It was quality assurance too.
It was, you know, they were trying to keep really bad games off the market up until I forget the name of the company. I know it started under Atari, but Tenen? I forget the name of the company that actually broke the lockout chip on the NES. But, I mean, it was a division of Atari, but they spun it off as a subsidiary so they could, you know, not get sued. They got sued anyways, but they were trying not to get sued. That actually broke the lockout chip, and that's where you started seeing the third-party cartridges show up about the middle of the NES run, mid to late NES run. But, so, yeah, I guess they commissioned a Game Boy game, and it's a real ROM. You can load it in an emulator. You can load it on a flash cart and play it on real hardware. So it's just interesting that somebody's done that. So
it shows that if you have money and nostalgia, nothing truly dies.
I mean, that a Game Boy game in today, that's like awesome but confusing. It's like somebody at McDonald's has to be a retro enthusiast to think that that was something they needed to do. And they were able to convince enough of their management to let them procure the marketing budget to pay a programmer to do it. So I just think that's cool. It's a shame they didn't go get a bunch of those bootleg Game Boy cartridges off of the Chinese websites and actually include the game. Of course, how many people have a working... Well, I've got several on the shelf over there, but I was going to say, hey, a lot of people probably don't have working Game Boys these days. Or Game Boy Colors, anyways. Again,
for a bit, Game Boy tried to do the backwards compatibility thing, so it might even work on some newer Game Boys than just the color.
It'll work. I think the Game Boy Advance was the last one that would play the original cartridges. And then I don't know, because I kind of stopped following it after that. I had one of the DSi, the dual screens, but I didn't hardly use it. So. Yeah, the Advance was the last Game Boy I put any real time into, so. We're getting old, guys. It's like they're talking about these retro things, and it's like, that's not retro, that's just a... Oh, fuck. You know?
Yeah, the Switch is kind of an all things now. It's a handheld and a console, isn't it?
It is. They sell a version of it that's pure portable and a smaller screen, and you can't dock it, and then they sell the bigger one that you can attach the controllers to the side of, and it's, you know, portable gaming, and then you can dock it and play it on TV, so.
Nope, the Game Boy isn't quite dead. Nintendo Flex. It is a Game Boy.
Nintendo Flex, I don't know that one.
It is their newest thing. Came out in 2022. It looks like early release.
Nintendo Flex. Oh, what is this? Well, it looks like a Game Boy. Interesting. We'll have to look into that. I didn't, power to the game.
Like you can load ROMs from a thumb drive.
So is this an official emulator?
This is an official thing.
Looks like it's a, I don't know, this just looks like a concept rendering to me.
Huh. Oh, graphic designer, yeah. It's an idea, damn it. The first couple cool paragraphs looking. Made me look like I was wanting to buy something.
All right, well, let's do this. What I have for Dojo tonight is a Fedora distribution called the Nubra Project. The Nubra Project is a modified version of Fedora Linux, which uses user-friendly fixes. It is, you know, they're saying Fedora is a very good workstation OS, however, anything involving any kind of third-party or proprietary packages is absent a fresh install. Point-and-click user can often struggle with how to get things working beyond the basic browser and office documents that come with the OS. Some important things that are missing from Fedora, especially in regards to gaming, include Wine dependencies, OBS Studio, third-party codecs, and third-party drivers. So this is a respin of Fedora. Well, no, it's they say don't call it a respin because that's a specific kind of Fedora distribution that's endorsed by Fedora. This is not. This is just a fork. This is somebody taking Fedora and making their changes and publishing a distribution. But they've patched the kernel with a whole bunch of cherry-picked performance packages, OpenRGB, AMD GPU, Steam Deck support, a bunch of hardware support, including... So, okay, I've been talking about for several weeks now that I want to move to Linux as my primary operating system, and that I was, you know, having some problems with hardware support. So this looks like something we're going to try that... you know, it looks like it solves a bunch of the problems I was going to have out of the box with the hardware that's in this laptop, since it's got the NVIDIA fixes basically built right in. So that's cool, because if somebody's done the hard work of tuning Fedora, which is what I was reading was the best way to get one of these laptops working was Fedora, then, hey, that's even less shit I have to do if they've already done all the fun tweaks that you have to do to get it up and running. So, and they document out what all they've changed in here. They've got a bunch of good stuff changed, as well as pre-included libraries and packages, like NVIDIA GPU detection, driver auto installation, SDL2 patch to fix an NVIDIA frame rate issue. Yeah, so it's saying only NVIDIA GPUs that work with the newer drivers work with it, so you actually have to make sure that you have supported hardware. But let's see, that's probably gonna be they don't actually say in here. I'm betting that's gonna be pretty much any of your modern cards, probably anything from the 10 series and up I would expect to work. So yeah, that's cool in my mind, because it's like, hey, it's already got Steam installed, so, you know. The only thing I haven't really solved with moving to Linux full-time is CAD, so I think I'm not sure how I'm going to do CAD just yet, but this is definitely promising and a move in the right direction for what I'm wanting to do with this particular machine. Anyways.
You could dual boot and then just live in Linux, except for the one time you need CAD.
I'm actually looking at, can I set up Moonlight, and I think it's called Sunlight, the open source version of NVIDIA's game streaming, which is a lot more compatible, to stream CAD from a virtual machine on one of my servers, which means I'm still maintaining a Windows installed to run CAD, but it's at least usable. Or, like you said, I could dual boot, or I could just find a CAD that runs on Linux, or, you know, I'm also going to be using this Mac Mini that I normally use as the broadcast box and moving some things to it, mainly the audio stuff, because that was the other major stumbling block I had, was a lot of the audio stuff was pretty much Windows and Mac only. It's like, well, if I'm going to supplement the main system with a Mac, okay, for the stuff that doesn't, you know, the audio stuff that really wants to be on Windows or Mac, I just put it on the Mac. And then Linux for most of my stuff, Mac for the specific stuff that needs it. And then Windows wrapped up in a virtual machine where it can't hurt anyone else.
Live in a closet and not talk to people.
To subsist on a diet of fish heads and Microsoft updates. That's all I got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, website, and in the IRC, we had Al Hazard, CyberLard, Psychros, Madman, myself, Neurobash, that's a new one, and Sardonyx. Madman, closing thoughts.
They're coming out with a new Payday.
Yeah, saw that.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
I'm on the fence, Madman.
Are you? Closing thoughts.
If you're looking for something to watch this weekend, recommended movie is S-I-S-U. Essentially, old man strikes rich gold, but he's 1,000 miles away from any bank. Set in the end of World War II, trust me, you'll enjoy it.
Interesting. All right. I'm going to play sound effects.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Attention, attention. There is no cause for alarm. Grasp the nearest oxygen mask and put it over your nose and mouth immediately. There is no cause for alarm. Breathe normally. Use the strap on your mask to keep it in place. There is no cause for alarm.
Go nose down and call it a night.